Mojave has jumped on early doors today because there's a bit to talk about in the world of footy, and it's a bit early for him on a Friday morning, but he looks like he's had a shower. Good morning, Boomer.
Yes, good morning, boys. How could I not have a shower? I woke up to six messages from everybody saying, get out of bed, we're getting a little bit earlier. So all good. I'm ready to go. Showered up. Had to brush my teeth and had a bottle of water. So good to go.
Yeah, great to have you with us. And an early edition of the Friday Footy Preview, which is great stuff. What did you make of last night, Boomer? The Power and the Cats. Going to Dougal Howard after the break. But what did you make of last night?
Look, you know what? Just if I'm going to keep it really short, I'm just going to say Port Adelaide were harder at the football. Simple as that. They out-tackled Geelong. The stats say that, I mean, Geelong's played their game, their game style. They still had 73 marks to 47, inside 50 marks, 10 to 4. So they dominated some areas, but the tackles were 69 to 51, and Geelong's goal kicking was 29%. So saying all that, take everything away. In games of football, if you're harder, you usually win, and that's the case in finals football. So I thought Port were harder last night.
It's funny. They also went after a few different things, Boomer. Brad Ebert with Tom Stewart, Rockliffe with Selwood, sort of after quarter time. You know, Cleary causing a bit of havoc in front of Tom Hawkins for a lot of the night. Hawkins didn't get out on the lead, sort of, you know, up that V. It was more wide. So sort of tactically as well, I thought Ken tried some things and those things worked also.
Yeah, no, absolutely. It was always going to be low scoring. Geelong are not a huge scoring team in terms of the first three quarters. They always come out slow and end up, you know, trying to kick goals at the end of the game to win. But, I mean, it would have been a different game if Hawkins had converted early. I know I think he might have kicked 5 points or 4 points and one on the full. Not sure about the left foot snaps going around the corner from 25 out and things like that. But, no, you're spot on, Rammer. At the end of the day, I came back, I thought Port were harder. But those little tactical things that Kenny did try worked. And it worked well, you know, taking care of Selwood at stoppages and taking care of the best forward in the competition. It was a decent game. It was a fast tempo game, and Port got the win, which they much deserve. And in a prelim final now, it's fantastic.
Do you have any question marks over Geelong now moving into next week and now an elimination final against either West Coast or Collingwood?
Yeah, I do. It's if they can kick a big enough score. We've seen on cases this year that they can, absolutely. But I look at their smalls last night, and I put Rowan in that because he's a marking sort of, you know, mid-sized player. Five possessions, Myers seven possessions, Ablett 10, and Dalhouse 16. Now, Dalhouse gets up the ground a little bit more, but zero goals between them. One, two, three, four players there, zero goals between their smalls. Need to hit the scoreboard because you can't have Zach Tui kicking goals for you and expecting to win.
Byrne Jones and Hartlett were very good last night, Whitey, with the way they were able to shut down and rotate on those Geelong smaller players.
The problem for Geelong moving forward is I don't think it's so much next week, but they're swinging to what I think is the harder half of the draw because they end up going into the Brisbane-Richmond section to get through to a grand final. And I don't know, just based on where those finals are going to be played, how well Richmond plays in Queensland, and obviously Brisbane playing at home, they'll have to get through one of those in Brisbane to get to a grand final. So that's going to be potentially the issue for the Cats if they were to get through next week.
Totally agree, and I think that was why the game last night was so big for both teams, because you don't want to be on the Richmond side, let's face it, and you probably don't want to be on that Brisbane side in terms of playing Brisbane in Brisbane. So, Port got away last night. I thought it was a great game. Well done, Port Adelaide. You're in a prelim final.
Yeah, they were magnificent, as you say. They were hard, they were tough, and they were physical, and that's what Kenny's been trying to build with this team. They've been great at that all year round, and you go back to that home and away game early in the year between those two teams. They were off their tucker that night in that area of the game, Boomer. They weren't the same ferocious team at the footy, or certainly weren't able to win those contests often enough against the Cats, and they got steamrolled. They did shut down their ability to open the ground up last night too. They kept them really narrow, which was really good coaching as well. They just forced them back to where the ball was and made the channel of play available or space available quite narrow for the Cats, and they like to expand and open the ground up at times around, and they weren't able to do that last night.
Yeah, and that's a really good point, and that was actually something I wanted to talk to Boomer about a little bit, is that when Geelong had the ball, one, they were rushed because Port's pressure was very good. Their tackle count was obviously high last night. So, yep, they kept the ball. They made Geelong kick the ball very narrow. But when Port won the ball back, they actually spread the field. They made Geelong defend from side to side. They continued to switch the ball and make Geelong actually run, defend. And that worked there. And I talk about that because last time they played Geelong, Geelong's defenders just were able to roll back really easy on Charlie Dixon. Charlie didn't take a mark last night, but I actually thought he had a pretty big influence on the game because he was still able to compete pretty hard in the air and in those contests. He kicked one goal through a free kick in that first quarter. But by switching the ball, making the field really, really wide, and then not allowing Tom Stewart to really dictate terms through the back half of the ground because of that reason and because of Ebert, Geelong was sort of, they looked at times a bit lost defensively last night.
Yeah, I totally agree. And I'll touch on Charlie Dixon as well. I thought he was exceptional last night. I know he didn't have a big impact in terms of stats, marks, goals, but his first two contests, I think, created goals for Motlop straight off the bat. So his contest was good. And just the thing on making Geelong defend, yeah. What switching the ball, Geelong are so proactive in their back six and getting mids to roll back as well to help out that if they sit 5 or 6 metres out to the right side and you switch it back to the left side, and they've got to run an extra 14 metres to get to the other side. Then you switch it again. They're doing a lot of work. So you're making them do extra work early on in the game. And I thought Port played it well, not only the tactics for the individual drama, as you mentioned, but those tactics there to make Geelong, to make them defend. That was really, really pivotal in the game. And they did it from the early stages of the game as well.
Great performance. 16 points was the margin for the Power last night, as Rama said, through to a preliminary final against the winner of the loser of tonight's game.
That's this. Yep, and then Geelong, Bulldogs and St Kilda.
And Bulldogs and St Kilda, yeah.
Half. Yeah.
Victoria's own Breakfast Club.
Great to have Boomer with us. Friday face-off not too far away. Tom Rockliffe around the corner as well. But let's talk about the game tonight, gentlemen. Brisbane and Richmond at the Gabba, 7:50. Check your local guides. For the Brisbane Lions, we know that there's a couple of handy ins. We spoke about Jordan Berry and Harris Andrews with who was it yesterday? Who did we speak to yesterday? That was
Jed Adcock,
that's right. Coming in for Alice Yeoman and Jack Payne for Richmond. Dion Presti and Shai Bolton come in for Jack Ross and Josh Caddy. Boomer at the Gabba. The Brisbane Lions straight sets exit last year. They're a better team this year, but the Tigers are humming. What's going to happen?
Well, two really good inclusions for both teams. Presti is a star. I know he hasn't played for a long time, but he's a great in, and I think he just adds that depth that Richmond actually really need through the midfield. And Shai Bolton, he's had a fantastic year. So Harris Andrews, all Australian fullback, and Berry's been a great player as well. I'm going to take you back and to the last time they played. The score was 41-82. So Richmond doubled their score, and you'd think easily convincing winners. I thought Brisbane played a really, really good game style that day. Teams that beat Richmond seem to hang on to the football. We see Fremantle do it a couple of years back. Hawthorn have done it in the past. Clearly, Fagan's come from Hawthorn, thinks that style of play can work. 111 uncontested marks Brisbane had to Richmond's 68. So they maintained possession. There was 4 goals, 17 Brisbane kicked. Daniel, 4 goals, 17. That's 19% I worked out with my mathematic background. 19%. So they won convincingly, Richmond, but they didn't win as well as everybody thinks. That's my opinion on it. The inside 50s were 44-40. So all the stats add up to say that it was going to be a pretty good game. If Brisbane kicked straight, it would have been a really good game. They're both in fantastic form. Richmond's won 6 in a row and Brisbane 7 in a row. The only thing that's leading to Richmond winning this is, what did we work out? 14 games, Rama, 2009, I think it was. Someone mentioned that Brisbane haven't beat Richmond since. But I think Brisbane are playing with enormous confidence at the minute. They've got a really good midfield going, and they're giving their forwards an opportunity. Can their tall forwards stand up in Hipwood? And who is the other tall down there? Is it McStay?
McStay,
yeah. Yep. Can they stand up in big games of football? Of course, Lynch is not playing. He kicked 3 goals against Brisbane last time. So Rewalt's going to have to kick a small bag for Richmond to go really well, I believe. But the big question for me, if Richmond stamp Charlie Cameron, can the two talls for Brisbane, who are not household names, Hipwood's a good player every now and then, can they stand up and kick a winning score in a big final?
Yeah, look, at that. That's my question mark. Richmond is second best defence in the competition. So our question all year on Brisbane is that consistency of goals. If it's not Charlie Cameron, who is it? Now, we probably expect that matchup of Charlie Cameron. We probably expect Grimes to take that Cameron matchup. Cameron likes to get obviously close to goal, so that leaves Bolter to play on probably Hipwood or McStay. I think it'll be Hipwood and then Vlosten. We'll probably get the McStay role. Vlosten plays a lot taller than he usually is. Because what happens if McStay gets up the ground? Vlosten will just sit back in the space. He'll allow McStay to go and get 7 or 8 marks up the ground because he'll sit in the hole in front of Charlie Cameron or Hipwood and intercept mark as he's been doing all year. The one wild card in this match, Whitey, is no Tom Lynch. I think we're underplaying that, how important he has been to the Tigers, just as that obviously, well, I'm not going to say second option, but other option and other avenue to goal, and how good he has been. That puts a lot of pressure on Jack. Jack hasn't been in the best form this year. He's been better, obviously, later in the season. But now you sort of say, well, Jack has to kick 3 or 4 now for the Tigers tonight to put up a big score. So I'm still leaning towards the Tigers, but I think this is Brisbane's best chance to get them.
Yeah, I couldn't have said that any better. I'm leaning towards Richmond because I trust what Richmond do in finals, but I can't say that Brisbane can't win because their form has been very, very strong. And there's been a couple of performances late in the season against inferior opposition where they were only going okay and they just went through the gears and got the job done and play like a really good team. So I think Brisbane can definitely win. I think, you know, again, from a punting perspective, I think Richmond's over the odds at $1.75. I'd have them a little bit shorter on the basis of what they've done in finals previously, how they play well in Brisbane and how they've got a good record over Brisbane. I think that has to count for something.
Does anyone think that the Gabba actually plays a huge part? In previous years, obviously, Richmond wouldn't have been playing at the Gabba, but because of this year, it's clearly not as a home ground advantage as it usually is. But is it a home ground advantage for Brisbane, you think, Whitey?
I think it is. I think it's about the home ground advantage is about the conditions. And so I think it's more of an advantage for Richmond when they play teams other than Brisbane. But as Jed Adcock said yesterday, every team had a good record against Brisbane over the last 7 or 8 years because they didn't win very much. So, yeah, I'm going with Richmond.
Rama?
Tigers.
Boomer?
Yeah, I'm going to go with Brisbane. I think if they're going to win, it's going to be tonight. So I'm going to go with the Lions.
I'm with you. I reckon Brisbane win. It's going to be a great game of footy, hopefully, but I'm with you. I think they're much better this year, much better prepared, and can win it. Let's go to the Saturday night. We had a quick chat about the Bulldogs and Saints before, but Eagles and Collingwood at Optus Stadium Saturday night, boys, 8:10, check your local guides again. Interesting game through, again, home and away form at this venue is interesting. The Magpies can't kick a score, Boomer. Can they do something about that against the Eagles? Who can?
Yeah, that's the big question. They're crying out for this big forward to stand up, and I can't see. I mean, Cox played an unbelievable game a few years back against Richmond in that final, but I just can't see. I can't see Collingwood kicking that score that they really need. They're going to have to get midfielders to kick goals in Pendlebury and Adams and these type of guys because. Yeah, they're mids. The goalie's a fantastic player. Is Stevenson even playing? I've missed that.
Teams haven't been selected yet.
But we think he might be. So, yeah, they're going to have to get a couple of goals from each of their medium-sized forwards. But no, I think Eagles playing at home, I think that's a huge, huge advantage. And I don't know if Collingwood can beat them over there.
Over the Cats. Quickly, before we get the Friday face-off, tipping St Kilda Bulldogs, Whitey?
Bulldogs.
Wyatt Rimmer?
St Kilda.
Boomer?
Bulldogs.
St Kilda for me. And West Coast Collingwood, I'm going the Eagles. Anyone going the Magpies?
Eagles. Eagles.
Eagles.
Eagles.
Right on. I'm going the top seeds for all the games this week. That's my take on it. I reckon they've deserved that right. Let's get to the Friday face-off.
The Breakfast Club's Face Off for Ribera's in Port Melbourne for simply sensational seafood dining. Tomorrow's menu is still swimming.
Certainly is. We love it. And register at the website rsn.net.au to be a part of it. Whitey, what are we playing tonight? Brisbane and Richmond, please.
Kicks. We're going with tonight. Kicks.
Kicks.
Righto. Kicks. Really?
I'm going to be quick. We're going to be quick.
Oh, goodness gracious. Boomer, you're playing for Phil Tonks from Port Melbourne. Who's getting the most kicks tonight, please?
That's an interesting topic, isn't it, really? Kicks. That's it's a good one. And I've got the whole 12 seconds to quickly have a look. I'm going to go with Jared Lyons.
Jared Lyons, good start. Good start for Phil Tonks. Rammer, you've got Shannon Brown from Reservoir.
I think Dusty will have a big night tonight.
Dusty for Shannon. Good luck to you. I've got Lock Nankervis from Doreen. He's the coach of Lock in Nankervis. I think it's a different one. Lock, you and I are going to cheer on a player we spoke to through the week. Jaden Short is going to get the most kicks tonight for the Tigers, which means Whitey.
Kick out from full back. Well done, Daniel.
So for four points tonight, Cameron Cooper from Lara will be playing with Lockie Neal.
Lucky Neil will get a couple
handball
as well.
He's got a sore foot. He's going to handball.
That's right. That's exactly right. He'll be handballing a lot. Won't get any time and space for Cam Cooper from Lara. Good luck to all involved. Register the website. It's been a big week. Boomer, lots to talk to you about next week with the Kangas because Paul Roos is coming to town, they tell us. So good luck with that assignment. Have a great weekend.
I like it.
Rammer, we'll catch you Monday morning.